Now I think we're working, maybe. United Methodist Women are reminded that the general meeting of United Methodist Women will be held tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. In the newsletter, the days were listed correctly, but the dates were switched. So it is tomorrow, Monday, May 16th. United Methodist Men will be meeting Tuesday, May the 17th, in the Fellowship Hall at 5:30. Jimmy Wade will be presenting the program for the United Methodist Men on the railroads in Greenwood County, and Debbie Turner, who is the author of the book Trees Wear Glasses, Don't They?, will be presenting the program for the United Methodist Women on Monday night. Also, we want you to put on your calendar June the 4th. That's 3 weeks from today. We will have dinner on the grounds. Barbecue and drinks will be provided by the church, and church members are asked to bring a covered dish. Those of you that wish to can remain afterwards and help with the preparation for Vacation Bible School, which begins the following day. But we don't want you to feel like, we don't want you not to come to the dinner on the grounds because you think you're going to get roped into something with Vacation Bible School. That's just for those that feel like they can help after the dinner. So put that on your calendar. Also, just outside the Trinity classroom, there is a bulletin board, and on that bulletin board hang 5 crosses. And those crosses are for the mission workers that we will be sending to Brazil and Nicaragua. We ask that you please go by and sign those crosses. Those will be presented to those individuals before they leave for their mission trips. Please go by and sign those crosses. And please keep each of those individuals in your prayers over the next few weeks and as they are serving their mission trips. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. Praise be to God, Creator of all things. All praise and glory be to God. Praise be to God for those who gave us life through birth. All praise and glory be to God. Praise be to God for those who nurtured us. All praise and glory be to God. We thank you for all women who were mothers to us. Be seated and join in the invocation as printed in the bulletin. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd now like to welcome to the pulpit Ryan Patterson, who was the 2005 recipient of the Chad Withard Scholarship.
Thank you, Lee. Chad Withard was an extraordinary young man, a young man who only lived to be 15 years of age. But within those 15 years, he accomplished much more and became much more than any of us could ever dream. Chad was a leader and a leader among his peers and a follower of Christ. He was a servant and a servant of God and a master of loving God's people. He was a teacher and a student of the Scriptures, who in turn taught what he had learned to others, both through word and deed. Whether it was his service in mission work, his never-ending interest in learning about God, his leadership within the UMYF, his determined capacity to see everyone as worthy, Chad made an impression. We need more young people like Chad Withard. Young people who are nurtured by the church by giving their time and space, opportunity and resources, become what God wants them to be. Young people who, because of the love that is shown to them, want nothing more than to share to everyone they meet. We need more young people like Chad Withard, those who not only volunteer to go on mission trips, but those who, like Chad, actually lead during those mission trips by their service and their inspiration. Those not only who have a copy of the Bible, but those who actually read it and find it the message that God has for all of us and He desires for each of His children. Those who attend the services at church, not because they have to, but because they want to. Because they find in God's church spiritual nourishment. And that is why today we recognize one of these young people, one that exhibits these unique characteristics of Chad in their everyday life. And I am pleased to announce that this year's recipient of the Chad Withard Scholarship is Kayla Shelley. Come on up, Kayla. Congratulations.
And now as we approach our time of prayer, I want to catch you up on a few things that are going on. Number one, we've had a death over the weekend of Paul Blakely, who's been ill and in declining health for some time. We don't have the information yet on when his service will be, but his widow, Jane, is at Wesley Commons. You may contact her there. Also, I want to beg your prayers for the Greenwood Salkehatchie Camp, which is coming up June the 17th through the 24th. They have stacked our dates throughout the entire state on top of 8 other camps. And so there is a real difficulty in getting participants. And I decided, you know, what can I do? I've called all the pastors and all the other camp directors, and I thought, wait a minute, Jim, you're a preacher. You can ask your congregation to pray. And so I'm asking you, pray for those who at the very last minute past the deadline want to be a part of a local mission project here, fixing homes in Greenwood, to just get up off their intentions and sign up. Also, those of you who have said, and I have heard that, you know, foreign missions are great, but why don't we do something locally? Well, we are. We're going to do 6 homes locally with conference money. But I may need more help from local adults than ever before. The young people here cannot help in the local camp, but adults can, and some of you have, and we may need more adult help this year doing the 6 homes, June the 17th through 24th, than we did last year. So let us pray for others to sign up, to come, and pray for hearts to be able to give us a day or two of your expertise, or maybe even take a day off from work and do some local mission work coming up in June. I sincerely pray about that, and I'm sure that we will be fine. And our other concerns on our concern list, Fred Calfee had heart catheterization and some ongoing problems. Let us be in prayer for him. Bill Nicholson, Barbara Stroud, Carol Bateman, Reynolds Griffin, Phyllis Legg, who is now at Roger Peace in Greenville, recovering from a stroke, Dorothy Hill, Joyce Bartless, Emily King, Bud Pendergrass, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, my mother, I saw yesterday, she's doing fine, Kyle Bennett, Amanda Hinton, Ray Ballantyne, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. Let us also remember the prayers of our hearts, our private concerns, and our mothers, and those who mothered us as we have gotten as far as we have in our lives. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we remember before you the mothers of this world for girls becoming women who are just becoming aware of the awesome power of their bodies, and for women who are now bearing new life within their bodies and await with joy the coming of a child. For women now bearing new life within their bodies, but facing a terrible choice and considering whether to bear that child forming within them, let us pray to the Lord. And for women who cradle new life in their arms and who face with joy and wonder and anxiety the task that lies before them, let us pray to the Lord. And for women who face the task of motherhood alone, with no partner to share the burdens, for women who must balance the work of motherhood with the task of earning a living, let us pray to the Lord. And for women whose children are more of a burden than a joy, who live with fear about the way their children are growing and developing, let us pray to the Lord. And for women who watch their children leave home and enter the wide world, who look with joy and pride at those children and who wait for their further growth, let us pray to the Lord. And for those women whose children are caught up in war and violence, let us pray. And for women whose task of mothering is done but who cannot let go, who now feel compelled to hang on to their children and demand a loyalty that is no longer appropriate, let us pray to the Lord. And for all the women who have gone before us, who were our mothers and grandmothers and our teachers, whose lives we now celebrate, let us pray to the Lord. O God, before you the generations rise and pass away. Now we place in your hands all those for whom we have love and concern. Hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in silence. Yes, Lord, we do pray to you for all these spoken and unspoken concerns, and we trust you and pray as your Son taught us to pray with confidence, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I asked the young people, the children, to come down front now for a special children's message with Mary Alexander.
They might have read the paper this morning and said, did you read Jack Carmody's article today? Because that was in there this morning. So the newspaper does what? Does it give us the news? Tells us everything? How do you think we get the news out about God's love? What's God's newspaper?
The Bible.
The Bible, exactly. There are lots of stories in the Bible about God's love. And how does God's stories get spread around? Who does that? That's right. We're sort of like newspaper carriers for God. We tell everybody about His love, and the way we live our lives show God's love in us. The way we act and the way we talk. And that's what God wants us to do. That's our job here, is to tell everybody about God's love and make sure that they know it's for them too and that God loves us all. So we just have to pass on the news about God's love, like everybody passes on the news in the newspaper. And today we have some books for the youngest member of each family to take home. And it is called Mom, You Make a Difference. So everybody get one of those before you leave. Okay. And there's some kids that aren't here today, so we can get those in Miss Kathy's office later. Let's say a little prayer today. Dear God, thank you for your love. Help us to show others your love through our words and our actions. Amen.
Let us pass the peace.
Our first scripture passage for today comes to us from Acts, the 8th chapter, the 26th through the 40th verses, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with that scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, but the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the epistle of 1 John, the third chapter, the 16th through the 24th verses. And the choir has so beautifully set the tone for this scripture. The theme that they sang is the same as I will be reading. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will all know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before God whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey God's commandments and do what God is pleased with. And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as God has commanded us. All who obey God's commandments abide in God, and God abides in them. And by this we know that God abides in us by the Spirit that God has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you. to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, the first 8 verses. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this is an old story, but a good one. A man's mother was visiting him on Mother's Day Sunday, and that's happening around here, I can tell. And her son absolutely refused to get up to get ready for church. His mom knocked on his door several times, got no response, and finally she went into his room and said, "Son, you have to get up or you'll be late." He said, "I am tired. I don't want to go to church, and besides, no one there likes me. Give me three good reasons why I should go." And his mother said, "Well, first of all, God wants you in church. Secondly, you're 30 years old and you should know that worship is important. And thirdly, you're the pastor." Now, whether you're the pastor or not, it is not an easy thing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and disconnected and alone. It is impossible. Jesus used gardening analogies quite a bit, so maybe you'll let me get by with this one. It's got some puns in it, but I like it, and it's also meaningful. A clever preacher, I consider him clever, he once compared the life of faith to a garden. And he said in his garden he would first plant three rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash criticism, and squash indifference. And then he would plant three rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful, let us be unselfish, and let us love one another. Finally, he would add turnips. Turn up for church, turn up with a smile, and turn up to serve others. Well, I liked it. Now, a true story, a true but almost unbelievable story. Donald Gray Barnhouse writes about a grapevine that can be found in Hampton Court near London, England, that is, they guess, 1,000 years old. Some of its branches are 200 feet long, and its single root is at least 2 feet thick. Because of decades and centuries of skillful cutting and pruning, that one vine produces several tons of grapes every year. And even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet away from the main stem, they bear plenty of fruit because they are joined to the vine. The great truth that Jesus is trying to tell us in this story is that if we want life in all of its fullness, then we must be connected to the true vine, to the source of life and true life and eternal life, that is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, most of Scripture can be told in terms of a two-sided coin. You will start, as you really study it, to see this. You've got the heads and the tails of most every point. Let your mind go and you can fill in all the stories and all the teachings that fit these categories. You have the found and the lost. Living in God's light and then hiding in darkness. You have the self-righteousness on one side and humble confession on the other. You have running from God on one side and turning to embrace God on the other. You have trusting God on one side and trusting worldly wealth and power on the other. You have the broken on one side and wholeness and healing on the other. And finally, the connected on one side and the disconnected and alone on the other. Connected and disconnected is what this little teaching moment Jesus tells us is about. You know, the sin of the Pharisees and of many modern Christians is to confuse the church with some sort of business. To see the church as some sort of social club who happens to sing songs about God. That is not Jesus' teaching. Jesus teaches that the church is something organic, something living, something growing and changing and producing fruit that feeds God's good things to the world. Jesus' teaching is that the church does not really exist for us, It is instead a growing, living thing with roots in heaven and fruits of love and Christ-like compassion produced out there in the world for all to see. To see and to know that in spite of the darkness and decay and violence and selfish sin, in spite of hell itself, God is doing something in the world. It is through the church that God is doing something, that God is growing and living this thing that we call the church in the world. And the world comes to know and to believe that God is working through such as us, as we live connected and empowered by God's Spirit. We, if we are the church, are those with roots in God's kingdom who live out that being found instead of lost, who live out God's light instead of darkness, who live out humble confession and instead of self-righteousness, live out turning to embrace God instead of running away, live out trust in God instead of wealth and power, and we live out true life as God intended instead of lies and death. We live out connected to God and connected to each other instead of disconnected and alone and pretending that no one else matters. There are people in the world who think they are better than others by virtue of station or standing or wealth or education. Jesus teaches not so in the church. He says, connected to me, you will know that all branches are equally valued. All branches find their sustenance through one source, Jesus the Christ, the true vine. And all the branches have one purpose and one purpose only, to bear good fruit and to witness to God's activity in the world. Christ clearly states the implications of this story. He is the vine, we are the branches. We are totally dependent upon Him. Without abiding and connecting to God in Christ, we can do nothing that is good. We can do a reasonable facsimile, but not truly good from the heart, mind, soul, and out. All the branches together make up the vine. It isn't a private faith acted out in a private way, disconnected at all. All of us together are the church. And God's activity in the world happens through the church. It isn't about which branch is greater or better or more gifted. It is about how much good fruit can be produced by all the branches together as we give ourselves to God. As branches of the true vine Jesus, we are connected to one another as well. And that means we can and we should hold each other accountable, because ultimately we are connected and intertwined. When one is hurt, we all share the hurt. When one bears good fruit, we all share the joy. At least that is the church that Jesus described. We, the church, are more an organism than an institution. Garnering our life from God, garnering our good from God, our gifts from God. We are a living thing, proving that God is alive and in the world. They outside may see our faith and love and forgiveness and humility and be drawn to God. Evangelism is a living faith, and the light and the love and the humility that is in us in such a Christ-like way that other people notice and they seek the source of our power. And that source is always rooted in God, not in us. And so when someone is haughty or selfish or self-important, and that trait needs pruning. You notice Jesus said there needs to be some pruning at times. Even if you produce good fruits, you might need pruning. It hurts our witness to the world when we act contrary to the love of Christ. It harms this organic living structure which is the church. It diseases and disables our ability to reveal the living God to others who might be wandering in darkness and looking for God in the world. We, each branch, must be on guard against whatever keeps the whole church from growing. It might be us. It might be the mistake we make when we think the church is just another club It might be the withered, unfruitful habits and hurtful things we do which witness the wrong side of the coin. We may need pruning. As an identified branch of this vine called God's church, we may show more lost in the world than found. We may show more hiding in the darkness than living in God's light. We may show more self-righteousness than humble confession. We may show more running away than turning to embrace. And we may show more trusting in wealth and power than trusting in God. And by doing all of that, we show a disconnection. We show that we are not connected to the true vine. The short-sighted folk theology of our time mistakenly makes faith a personal, private thing. When did Jesus teach that? When did Jesus say your sins are private, your salvation private, your faith should be kept secret and is no one else's business? When did Jesus say you get God's love and light and then hide it securely under your bed so that no one will suspect? When did Jesus say, keep the traditions at all cost of your congregation and of your denomination because your church is important all by itself? Ignore the others who claim Christ. When did you ever hear Jesus teach like that? Instead, I hear everywhere Jesus making our mission worldwide. He died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are called to be engrafted into God's growing, organic, living thing called the church, and to look around and see these other branches engrafted, and all traced back to the single source, the single root, which is God in Christ. And it's a root that was planted as a cross in the ground, and God's Son planted in a tomb, in a cave. And then out of that true life, new life, growing from there and through the Holy Spirit spreading, connecting one and then another directly to God and to each other. I am glad that it is God who does the pruning, as Jesus tells the story here. It's not our neighbors or our spouses or our friends or other relatives. It's God. Because it is a loving thing for God to take us and to say, you are producing good fruits. You are connected, but here is a way you could do better. Prune this harmful habit out of your life. Prune this attitude out of your life. God's pruning is not an attack, but an act of love. The false, the harmful within us needs to be pruned. An infection left alone can cause great damage. It has to be removed. Holding each other accountable is not the same thing as judging one another. It's about protecting this living thing, this church, which is God's. The Greek word for prune is also the Greek word for cleanse or shape. God has already cleansed and shaped us by Jesus' words and Jesus' teaching, and people are shaped throughout their lives by Christian faith. And so the idea is that we grow in this fruit of the Spirit. And you know from Scripture what the fruit of the Spirit is. It is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And if you don't have at least one of those areas you need to grow in, then I'll declare you a saint right now and dismiss you. We all have areas to grow. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, we do wither from lack of spiritual nourishment, and we struggle to bear fruit. But in the vine, we're part of a network of branches supporting one another, and all supported upon Christ. Disconnected and alone, we can sing all the songs, we can worship all we want, we can study the Bible, we can do service projects, and come to every supper and every committee meeting and get nothing out of it. And I have had people tell me that has been their church life. I have done it all, and I've enjoyed not one moment. I have sought peace and joy and kindness and patience and compassion, but I have felt none of it. And so I know that this is possible. Worst of all, disconnected from God in this way, God gets nothing out of it. You see, the church gets nothing out of it, which is God's plan to reveal His action in the world. Those wandering in darkness get nothing out of it. If all you do, if they seek light and they see none of it in all that you do, then they get no witness, no hope, and we have failed. If neither you nor others notice the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then we may have a broken connection going on here. The way we witness is for others to look at us, to look at this thing called the church and say, see how they love each other. See how they support one another. See how they laugh with those who laugh and celebrate. See how they cry with those who mourn and grieve. See how they love one another. If they don't see it, if you don't see it, and don't ever think about it, then how are we the church? How are we connected to the living vine of Jesus Christ? Perhaps we need some pruning. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. It is spelled out. And if it is growing in us and through us, it will attract others and you will be able to see it. Engrafted in Christ, we bear fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. If we aren't producing these things, a crop for God's kingdom, then we need to allow the master gardener to prune away our excess baggage, our selfishness, our negativity, our meaningless pursuits and hobbies. Our lives are the fruits of the kingdom that Jesus was talking about. They are meant to be. And most importantly, our lives either witness to God's reality and work in the world or not. I want to close with a true story. It happened in the early 1900s. An outspoken atheist named Charles Bradlaugh, he challenged a preacher named Hughes to a public debate in London. Now the preacher said, I'll gladly accept your challenge, but on one condition. I would like to bring 100 men and women to the debate who can be witnesses to the redeeming love of God. These men and women will demonstrate for unbelievers how God has turned their lives around and filled them with fruit of the Spirit. The preacher asked his atheist challenger, now you do the same thing. You bring 100 people to be witnesses for your side of the debate, how they were helped by not believing in God. Well, the debate never happened. The atheist did not show up, and Reverend Hughes and the 100 men and women that he brought turned it into a sort of a worship slash revival slash faith sharing experience, and they all told their stories about how the power of God in Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit had melted their hearts, remolded their lives, and connected them to God and with compassion to each other. I hope that I've made it just a tiny bit clearer from this brief piece of Scripture that God's kingdom does not grow in some abstract way by just adding names on a church roll. It grows by being connected to God in Christ and by bearing these fruits in such an obvious and glorious way that others see and are drawn magnetically to the same God who is the source of our strength, of our peace, of our joy, of our gentleness, our faithfulness, our self-control, our love. That source, the true vine, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. And just a moment after the benediction and after the choral response, something will happen that I hope you can hear that has not happened in a very long time. We will be ringing the bell in the tower to warn all of Greenwood that the Methodists are coming. Receive this blessing. The blessing of the full love, the knowledge of the full love of God the Father. The grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the true vine, and the compassion and the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May you be sustained in your faith from life to abundant life to eternal life. Amen.